Your words matter. That includes your show topics and titles, content, all the words you use in your promotion and communication. So what should you be saying and when? Find out in this episode, right here, right now. It's On Air Brands.
You're now tuned in to the On Air Brands podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the On Air Brand Show. I am Todd Genetasio, along with my co-host Amber Furman. And today we are talking about the what. What should you be talking about and when? Last week's episode, we talked about why, which is the first step in the process here that Amber broke down for us, is when you're creating communication, you want to put it in an order of why, what, and then how. So make sure you go back to last week's episode on onairbrands.com/show to check out the why episode. And today we're breaking down the what. So in our own framework, Amber, welcome. And tell us, why does the what you say matter so much?
Why the what you say? So it goes down to just communication, right? We think so much about the way that we communicate when we're traveling. We think the way that we're communicating when we go to other countries. And then we just kind of assume that everybody speaks English and everybody communicates the same way. Mm-hmm. And we process information differently. And so the words that you say are incredibly important to make sure that you're getting your message across. I know that everybody who's out there has played like that telephone game, right? Yeah. Where somebody says something and then 10 people down and it's never what you actually said. Or in a little bit less of a actual game format, you say something to someone and then you hear something back, right? And it's like, that is nowhere near what I said. Mm-hmm. The reason for this really comes down to the fact that you're not getting your message across effectively. So how do you make sure that happens? Your words.
Yeah, that's great. And that's the biggest thing, is making sure your message gets across effectively. And, you know, oftentimes when I talk to clients about their marketing communications, and one of the biggest mistakes that I see people making in their communications, whether it's, you know, the content on social media, if it's the podcast topics that you're talking about in your show, if it's your emails or whatever, it's that you might be saying the right thing. You're just saying it at the wrong time for that person. Like we talked about, I think in last week's episode, about like you never hear the same song twice, right? Like every time you hear something or consume something, you're a different person based on the context of your environment, what you know now that you didn't know before, the distractions around you and all that kind of stuff. And when you go into a customer journey relationship, right, with your marketing content, if you are creating content that's just about your product and trying to sell something, you're skipping the entire customer journey where, yes, like you said, you know the context and reasons why this is so important and everything they need to know in order to say yes to buy. But if you just start off a conversation with, all right, what's your credit card number? Well, that's not going to close the deal. That's not going to, you know, influence anyone, right? So the order of which you put stuff in and making sure you don't skip any of those things, I think is one of the biggest mistakes I see in communication and content in today's online world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to push back a little bit on that, because I think it is going to influence them. And it's going to influence them in a way that you end up having to spend a ridiculous amount of time repairing that relationship. Right.
Yeah, negative influence, you know? For sure.
And it's true that you can only make one first impression. Mm-hmm. But the other side of that is that that first impression can be taken away in a heartbeat if you say something that someone's like, oh my gosh, that person's not who I thought they were.
Yeah.
And so being able to effectively communicate your message, one of the things that we say so much in the NLP space is that there's no bad listening. There's only bad communication. Like if you are communicating, your audience should have no option but to listen.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And how you get people to listen is by starting off with giving them a reason why, right? So make sure you guys go back and check out last week's episode, season 3, episode 4, onairbrands.com/show. To understand how to get that purpose of getting their attention out there. And I think when it comes to communicating effectively and knowing where they're at, like that's where I'm always talking about the customer journey plot points with people. That's actually what's on my whiteboard behind me, for those that are watching the video and you see consistently, that's the part that never really changes on my board, because that's so consistent and something I want to just embed in everything I do, is knowing that you need to meet them with what they're thinking about. And so just at a typical level, when we look at it from a marketing and sales standpoint, and this goes to planning the content for your shows, and we're actually going to put together, Amber and I, an upcoming series of the On Air Brand Show based on this, with NLP techniques for using persuasion to influence rather than manipulate, and to have a greater positive impact. But it's knowing that, you know, people go through this mentality of, first, they are kind of status quo. That's stage one, right? Where they are just living their life. They don't realize they have a problem. They're just comfortable. They've accepted whatever it is that they're doing as just what it is they should be doing. Then they become problem aware. And when they're problem aware, there's usually some kind of trigger event that happens, and they experience some pain, and they recognize, this is something I need to resolve. But at that point, they don't know anything about the products or solutions, or, you know, they're not comparison shopping anything. So if you meet someone who has a problem and you just start telling them why you're better than your competitors or what makes you different about the products, it's not going to jive. They're not going to have any idea. An example that I hear James Wedmore talk about a lot, and I love James. I love his stuff, part of his programs. But he says, like, if you're someone who helps people with their nutrition and wellness, and you help them with their headaches by making sure they're properly hydrated and their nutrition matches their biology or whatever, if you just started advertising about, like, hey, drink more water, people are going to be like, oh, yeah, that seems important, but I have a crazy headache right now. And actually, yeah. I think, Amber, you posted the nail video, right? Did you
post that? Yes, I did. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is. And so talk about that.
So the nail video is a video that's about communication. And for me, I also get this second side of it of, like, you know, how do you want me to show up? And I think, you know, I said it's a second side of it, and now that I'm actually saying these words, I think it's the same side. Like, we owe it to our clients and customers to ask them, like, how do you want me to show up right now? Do you want me to show up with the solution to the problem you're telling me about? Mm-hmm. Or do you want me to just listen? Mm-hmm. And hear what you have to say. And both of those are really important, because you may have all the answers. And if you start putting them forward to somebody who's not ready to hear them, or is so frustrated that people are trying to solve their problems and they just want you to listen, then you're losing that relationship. So the nail video was actually made in the context of relationships. And there's a girl who literally has a nail in her forehead, and she's talking about this headache that she can't get rid of. And her, who I presume is her boyfriend, her partner, her husband, whoever that is saying, you know, if we get this nail out of your head, it would probably quit hurting. And she says, you always try to fix things. And he's like, she says, I just need you to listen. And he's like, no, I don't think that's what you need, right? I think you need the nail out of your head. And it's hilarious, but how many times have we been in that situation? If somebody's not ready to hear the solution, it doesn't matter how good your answers are. It doesn't matter how right on point, how realistic, how amazing your solution is. If somebody's not ready, words, Amber, if somebody's not ready to hear them, you're talking to deaf ears. So meeting that person where they're at, taking them to where they can go, talking to the problems they think they have, so you can solve the problems they actually have. This requires you to step out of what you want to say and intentionally use language that communicates your message.
Yeah. Yep. And it's so true. And when it comes to planning out your podcast episodes, your show topics, what kind of content you have, that's what you have to think about. It can't be just talking about, you know, what's considered the bottom of the funnel, or that very, the, you know, product aware, where people are shopping for a solution. And so that all you talk about is your solution, but you need to go upstream and look at what are people thinking about, looking for, and questioning. And that's how you come up with the topics that you should be talking about in your content, whether that's your weekly show, whether it's your Instagram or Facebook Lives, your emails, all that kind of stuff. All of those topics need to be based on what it is that your ideal audience is thinking about as they go through this journey.
Yeah. And I think that one of the things that a lot of people don't realize until you get into actually doing this and doing it at a high level is that people who are good at their shows, people who are good at their marketing, there's an incredible level of intentionality behind everything that they do, yet it seems so flawless. And that's really an art, to be able to be extremely intentional about everything that you do and not seem scripted and not sound like you're a robot, right? You're this artificial intelligence that's just spouting out things. One of the things that I do with many of my clients at workshops that I do is I will blindfold them and then I'll spin them around and then I'll ask them to take like this dart and put it on a dartboard and like, good luck. Right. Yeah. But that's how we run our businesses and run our marketing so many times, is we just wake up and we're like, okay, what's next? Like, let me just show up.
Yeah. That's, you know, another thing that's actually on my board on the other side here is be intentional, take action and have fun. And I think that intentionality is so important, because that's what helps us be consistent. And so when it comes to words and topics and things like that, how does frequency and consistency of using the same words and patterns play a part in effectively delivering a message?
Yeah. So before I answer this, and I know that we're going to do this in another episode, and I'll say it again there because I don't think it can be said too many times. When you learn how to do this stuff and when you learn how to do it well, which requires so much more than we can talk about on this, there is a fine line between influence and manipulation. And so I beg you all to please make sure that when you do this, you are doing this all for the right purposes, that you are taking a product or service that you believe is helpful to somebody and allowing them to step into that solution to improve their life. Like, don't use this just to sell some shit that may or may not help. Like, please stay on the influence side of that line.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's the people who typically follow our shows, this one and the PodMax show, the people who are a part of the PodMax and On Air Brands communities are very much coming from a service oriented place and a value first place and abundance mindset type of place. And so those are the people we want to help increase your impact, right? Where it's not about looking for get rich quick or manipulating people into buying the wrong thing that doesn't matter. I always tell people that, you know, if you prescription before diagnosis is malpractice, and that goes for everything, right? And so if you are trying to sell something to someone who's not a good fit, then that's malpractice and you're doing something wrong, rather than educating and empowering and qualifying people to understand that I have this problem. This is who I am as a person. I have one of these problems. This solution seems to match for me. And that's also part of the communication through the customer journey. And that's how you actually increase your sales numbers, because you're only attracting people who are a good and right fit for not just for your product or solution, but also for your brand and your vibe, right? We always say your vibe attracts your tribe. And so when you're putting out the right content, you will attract the right people. And when you put out the right content in the right order, you will help educate and empower them to make wise decisions on solving their problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And before I answer your question, I just have to, I'm laughing at Mark's comment. He's making fun of your board, all of the things that are on your board. So I love it. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. Yeah. And a shout out to Mark. I just was on his podcast yesterday. So look at Mark Stinson's podcast. That was a great, and on the same topic, getting your message out there. So thanks, Mark, for joining in. Love that you're watching.
Yeah, absolutely. So to get back to the task at hand, so there's so many different ways to answer what we're talking about as far as words are concerned, and there's so many different reasons for it. Have you ever been in a situation with somebody where they say something to you and you're like, man, this person just gets me, right? Like this person, you feel connected to them. It may be that you guys process information the same way and you automatically have this connection, or it may be that this person has actually listened to what you've said and has said words that connect with your unconscious mind and build this rapport that is like, and you know, we talk about rapport so much in NLP, and it's not this surface level thing. Like when you think about having rapport with somebody on a podcast, it's this like unconscious connection that you can't really understand why you have it, that I know that everybody who's listening to this has had at some point in time. Like you just feel it, right?
Yeah.
So with that being said, the words are so important, because if somebody's saying, you know, I just want to know how this makes sense to me, and you're like, well, tell me how this sounds to you, they're going to be like, I don't understand those words. I need, and let me explain why. So there's four different ways that people process information. You have your auditory digital, which are your thinkers. They need to think and understand things. You have your kinesthetics, which are your feelers. They need to, you know, touch, feel, warmth. You have your auditories, which are your hearers. So they need to understand how something sounds to them. And then you have your visual. They need to see how something plays out. These things, like, we all have all of these in us, but there are some that are primary. There are some that kind of stay a little bit dormant and kind of pop up every now and then. So if you have somebody who's very kinesthetic, they're going to tell you that by saying, hey, like, this just doesn't feel right to me. Or can you, like, I need to feel how this, like, I need to touch it. I need to, like, this sense, right?
Yeah.
And then if you counter that with something auditory, they tune out immediately because they don't understand those words. Mm-hmm. Like, English-wise, we understand them. Decision-making-wise, emotionally, connection-wise, our unconscious mind is like, I don't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't click the same way. You know, part of it, I just jotted this down, and we haven't talked about this, but this is going to be part of one of our future episodes in this podcast persuasion series that we talk about. But a lot of old school marketers actually talk about marketing campaigns and more towards the back half of a marketing campaign, where it becomes more about the sale. Like, you've already attracted the right person, you know, they're qualified to need and want what you have. But they talk about, okay, now that you have someone who's a qualified prospect, how do you present to them like an attorney presents to a jury to have an airtight, solid case for them to buy your product versus someone else? So, like, moving them through that first part where, you know, the content that you put out through your podcast and your social and your emails and your in-person, all that kind of stuff is attracting the right people. It's educating and empowering them. And then once they raise their hand and really go through a sales process, it's like, okay, well, now we need to prove an airtight, logical case for them that they need, you know, that this is the right solution for them. And I'm curious, just at a high level, what are some of the concepts that you think about when you are putting your messaging together to make sure there's an airtight, logical case?
Yeah. So first of all, everybody has strategies for why they do things, and you have multiple strategies. And two of the biggest strategies that we work with in the NLP world, especially when it comes to marketing, is your decision-making strategy and your convincer strategy. And I know that everybody has experienced this if you've ever bought a car, where, you know, you go to a car lot and you just have a salesman that's really trying to speak to you in whatever language that you would understand for the last car that you purchased. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that you may not even realize you've been asked, but if you actually think about your last car buying experience, I can almost guarantee you were asked, hey, like, what are you driving now and what made you decide to buy that car? And then they just listen because you tell them everything that they need to know. So, you know, there's a couple of different ways that we dig down these strategies, and they go by phases. You know, are you on a call with them? Are you on them one-on-one? Are you talking to a mass amount of people? How do you get your message across there? There's so many ways to break it down. If I could just give one overlapping thing, it comes down to listening, throwing out the script, throwing out, you know, it's not bad to have an idea of a script, but throwing out, like, the actual words, listening to what they're saying and responding to what they need to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's always that's why I always teach freedom within a framework, right? Like, this is the type of order of topics that you need. Like, even the order of questions you ask when you're in listen mode makes a difference, right? Like, if you come out of the gate right away, like, you know, if we're selling to clients and we asked the first question, how much money did you make last month? That's like an aggressive first question, even though what we help people do is make more money. But you need to earn those types of questions for them to feel most comfortable in having them. And so you need to start off with certain types of questions that give you different types of information.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of the times, because of the way that we are raised to think that money and politics are two things you don't talk about at the dinner table, if you start asking someone to talk about money, they're going to shut down and be like, I don't want to do this. Like, who are you that thinks talking about money is okay? Right. On top of that, like understanding what their motivation is. Like obviously more money may be the byproduct, but maybe their motivation is, you know, influence. Maybe it's experiences for somebody. Maybe it's more exposure. Like understanding that, which is why I did a Facebook post recently where I said, if we want to support people, we have to stop thinking, what would I need to hear if I was in this situation? And we just need to start asking, what does this person need to hear? Like, too many times we try to put ourselves, like we're taught, put yourself in the mindset of the person you're talking to and figure out what you need to hear. And that you're only going to sell to people like you. If you do that, the way to do it is to listen to what they're telling you, analyze that, and what do they need to hear?
Yeah. And some tips for people. So it's easy. It's a lot easier to ask people if you're on the phone and a Zoom or whatever, you're talking directly with a potential client. But when we're talking about coming up with content for your shows, content for all your different channels, you know, some tips for listening are, one, I mean, Facebook groups, I was talking to someone last week about this. And remember, like, there are companies that do focus groups, you know, the old schools, you got 10, 20 people of a demographic sit in a room with a one-way mirror, and they ask you a bunch of questions, they give you a new candy bar, and you got to give your feedback, or you watch a movie trailer. And you know, I used to go to those, I love them. But and those things cost tens of thousands of dollars to put on, to get like 20 people's opinion on something. And, you know, there's value in that. But now you can just hop into the Facebook group for parents of youth baseball pitchers. If you sell to youth baseball pitchers, which is a new client of mine, which is why that's coming to mind. But you hop into that Facebook group and you can see what they're talking about. You can listen on social media. You can listen by looking at Amazon reviews, not just for relevant books, but any products that are on Amazon. Read the reviews or go to Yelp or Reddit and just do a Google search for the topic and look for reviews. And that's how you can listen to what your audience needs to hear and then feed that into your content strategy for how do you come up with topics, right? Start looking and listening. And that's also the power of building and having an audience for yourself and for your brand. Having a platform is that you can then you can ask them directly en masse, right? So, you know, I always focus on building an email list. If you're listening to this show, then you have to be building an email list for your business. And that's the power of having that push button communication where I can write up an email that says, you know, hey, Amber, we're planning out our topics for the second half of the year for our podcast. What questions do you have about digital marketing? Let me know and we'll start making this part of the we'll start answering these questions in the show. And then thousands of people get that email and, you know, we get a bunch of responses. So we know we can ask. So that's also the power of building your audience is having direct line of communication, whether that's your email list, which everybody needs to have. If you have a big Facebook group or Facebook connections, LinkedIn, wherever you're listening, wherever you're connecting with people and building a community around your brand, that direct communication should be leveraged to ask and listen so that you can then create things that they want, whether it's content, whether it's products, whatever it is, listening to your audience is huge.
Yeah. Also, when you ask convoluted questions, you get convoluted answers. Mm-hmm. So quit trying to make a Facebook post that has some underlying theme and you want to see what people say to that. Like, I promise you, when you see those posts out there that are like, hey, if you could talk about anything for 15 minutes without any preparation, what would it be?
They're I've been seeing not, that a lot lately.
Yeah. Like, they are asking you, what do you think about?
Yep.
What do you talk about? What's important to you? So I know that it sounds really easy, and it is if you do it right. If you want to know what your potential clients are thinking, ask them.
Yeah. Yep.
Ask them and listen. Mm-hmm.
And then the art of things coming through the topics that they want to hear versus what they need to hear and understand. And that becomes your job as a communicator, whether that's through, you know, your show or through whatever channel of communication you have. If it's on the phone, it's taking them from what their current state of mind and understanding is and helping educate them so they have a mindset shift into understanding how they really should be thinking about the problem or what they really need to know that will solve it, right? So if you went up to the girl with a nail in her head, if she said, I have this massive headache, and he handed her a hammer and said, here, pull out the nail. She doesn't care about the nail yet. She cares about her headache. And she doesn't know the connection between using the hammer to remove the nail from her head, right? There's no connection. So it's, let me listen to what she's saying. Then I can respond and use and understand where she's at. Talk her through that and say, you know, and educate her on that there's a nail in her head. And then, oh, there's a nail in my head. I need something to get this nail out. Oh, here's a hammer that you can pry the nail out with. And then it makes sense. But at that point, all she wants you to do is listen about the pain she's feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of my absolute favorite books, and if you guys have not read this yet, you absolutely should. And it is obviously not my favorite, if I can't think of the name of it. Who's the FBI negotiator?
Chris Voss.
Yes. Never split the difference.
Yeah.
Never split the difference. And one of the things that he talks about in negotiation, and every sale is a negotiation, right? Mm-hmm. Is create like the common problem. This isn't a problem of you trying to sell your service to somebody. This is a problem of you and your client trying to find the best solution to the problem that exists. And one of the things that I found the most is when my clients are saying things to me that make zero sense. So let's go back to the nail video. Like, it's so clear to you, right? Because it's so clear when you're not in the frame to see the picture that's going on. Yeah. So when this client's saying something to you and it doesn't make any sense, I've just asked, like, you said this, what am I missing? What am I not understanding? Help me understand and create this common problem of, I don't understand what's going on right now. Can you please help me? And people always want to help. And so then they're going to help you understand how their symptoms relate to the problem they think they have. So you can understand how their mind works. So they, you can then relate the problem they think they have to the problem they actually have.
I love that. Symptoms related to the problem they think they have. That's so true. So back to something I said earlier was the frequency of words. And I think you answered it in a, it took a while to get there, but how often
it usually
do you say
does.
How often we say the same thing. What you said was that people have different processing styles, whether it's, you know, auditory, visual, feeling, et cetera. And I think that gives us an easy way to reiterate the same concept multiple times without sounding repetitive. And yeah. You know, there's all these different numbers. I need to get some data that I can actually link to for this, but everyone understands, you know, conceptually that, you know, it takes 25 ads for someone has to see your ad 25 times before they actually like remember it and pay attention to it. The average person buys from a brand 4 to 18 months after the first interaction that they have. Right. And so when you realize that, it's like, oh man, I have to say the same thing over and over and over and over again, like for 18 months, like a zillion different times. Like, how do I do that? And it comes from, like, we just rattled off a bunch of different ways you could do it. One, it's like, what symptoms do they have? And talk about those things, the problems that they think they have, and educate them on that's if this is happening, here's the three biggest misconceptions of people with a headache. One, they don't realize there's a nail in their head.
Yes. And also, like, not just the words you say, but how you say them. And I think that this was the other part of your question that I didn't really answer is, like, if you have those three things, right? These are the three things that people with a headache experience. Then the next time you say it, switch those three things around because number one might not have been that situation. And it might be that the problem they think they have is number three. So you switch them around. Also, listen to the way they're talking to you. People who, like, when you talk slow, you're going to communicate better with people who have that same cadence to their voice. If you talk fast, you're going to communicate with other people. If you talk with a higher pitch or a lower pitch, like, everything that you do when you talk matters.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything. It's very interesting. And there's a book called Methods of Persuasion. It's a few years old now from a guy named Nick Colenda. I want to say his name is. He's got a great blog with a ton of free stuff. Highly recommend it. And he talks about all these different psychological principles. And what you just described as, like, the way you say things, fast or slow, high, you know, high pitch, low pitch, et cetera. He also talks about, like, the type of fonts that you use. Mm-hmm. Are they large or small? Are they fancy or not fancy? Are they easy to read? Are they not easy to read? And it was like, it's very interesting because it was like, if you want to be perceived as someone who's luxurious and elegant and very expert level, which I don't I'm not recommending you do this. It takes a lot to go through these branding exercises, but it was like, then you can use a font that might be smaller because people think if it's harder to read, then it must be smarter, must be harder to comprehend, and it must be smarter. So I forget. It's been a while since I read the book, but in the same way, your tonality, like you said, the speed at which you speak, the tone that you're speaking in, all of that conveys a message even without the actual words, right? They all are conveying a message of how you want to be perceived and how the message is going to be received.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, your client doesn't actually have to understand the questions that you're asking. And most of the time they won't. Like, you need to understand the reason that you're asking questions.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of examples for this. Like, I tell every client I work with, the first couple of weeks we work together, what you say to me isn't as important as how you say it. So the questions might not make sense. I'm looking for how you think, not what you think.
Yes.
And on this topic, when I started working with a marketer a few years back, one of the first questions she asked me, she was designing a business card for my law firm. And the first question she asked me was, what's your spirit animal and why? And I thought, what does this have to do with my business? But as I answered that, I told her what my personality is, what right. traits are important to me. Why am I attracted to certain things and not others? Mm-hmm. Like, you get information in every question you ask. And I wanted to touch on this. We need to do an episode on this from your side is when you do those posts that we were talking about previously, when you enter into those Facebook groups that we were talking about previously, and you get ideas, you want to make sure that you're remembering, and that usually means organization because you're not going to remember where you got these ideas from, because the ideas you get from LinkedIn are a different demographic than the ideas you get from Facebook, than the ideas you get from Instagram. And so if you take an idea you got from Instagram and you make a LinkedIn post about it, you're wasting your time.
Yeah, totally. And that comes to message market match, is making sure you're talking to the right type of people. And so, you know, you and I and a lot of our community, we've built up our Facebook, personal Facebook networks as business colleagues and friends in the business world. And so you and I can post something business related and get feedback from other entrepreneurs and business owners. But some people don't do that on Facebook. Some people are just friends and family. And so if you post on Facebook asking some type of business question, it might fall flat and you're like, oh, this question sucked, let me never ask this again. Or you might get a bunch of feedback that's just from people who are not the right type of people that you need to be getting the feedback from. And so their answers might be legit for them, but they're not the right people that you should be paying attention to. So always keep that in mind, is when you're listening, who you're asking, make sure it's the same person that you're going to be ultimately building and creating for.
Yeah, absolutely. And then be open, right? Because there's two parts of a communication. So if you ask a question to somebody and they answer that question to you, it's very possible when they answer your question, your first thought is going to be, that's freaking ridiculous. You have a nail in your head, right?
Yeah.
But the reality is their answer is 100% correct for where they are. And if you spend time analyzing, well, this doesn't, makes like this is dumb. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
Of course it doesn't make sense, because they're stuck. That's why they need you.
Yep.
And if you instead try to convince them why their answer was wrong, instead of accepting that that answer is exactly right for them, and now you get to use that to figure out how you can help them, then you're doing yourself a disservice. Like, don't try to tell them that their answer is wrong. They're never going to listen to you.
Right. Yeah. It's about shifting perspective and not just trying to brute force your answer on someone. And so, you know, a couple bad examples of this type of communication. One, I got a Facebook friend request from a stranger with a bunch of mutual friends in the business world, and then immediately start getting pitched in my DMs for whatever their product is.
But
one of his first questions was, where are you from? And I get like, all right, if I met you at a coffee shop or some kind of networking event, that question makes sense. But like, yo, you're on my Facebook profile right now. You see exactly where I'm from. Don't waste your time asking me a question that is you already have the answer to. Like, I don't have time to be answering this type of question for you, man. Like, you know, understand like what makes sense and when. And then the other one is, you know, the guys, Eric and Josh, were talking about this on the PodMax podcast today. Make sure you guys are subscribed to that show as well. And the segment of Have You Ever, they talked about, have you ever been asked to be a guest on, or been a guest on a show? You've had a guest on your show who then immediately tried to sell you something. Very odd strategy, which I brought to the table last week because it happened for the first time. I saw one of my friends happen to, where this person, they have a great show. They were asking all these different influencer impact type people to be guests. This one guy, very large audience, says, yes, I'd love to be on the show. I love your mission. He goes on the show. During the show, it's purely setting up him to sell to the host.
No.
And then after the interview, like they ended the thing, and then the guy says, so, you know, you'd be a perfect fit for my $4,000 mastermind.
No, he didn't.
Yep. Yep. And there was no context, no relationship whatsoever prior to this, right? He just straight up was, and not even like, he didn't even use the show to try and add value to the listeners and then like have an offer for the listeners. Like he just straight up was there to get the time to try and sell to the show host after the show. And that question maybe would have made sense if you added value during the show, created the relationship, followed up next week with an email about some great tips on how he could improve his show or reach more people he's trying to influence, how he could level up his business. Oh, hey, you know, it's been a month since we talked. We should hop on another call. Hey, you know, I'm doing this. You know, I know that your mission is to X, Y, and Z. And, you know, you're really trying to get to this destination. And I'm putting together a program next month that I think might be a good fit and add the value that you need, that you're looking for. Is that something, you know, if you take the time to put someone through the journey, to build a relationship, to educate them and all those kind of things that we always talk about, then that question makes sense. But when you just come out of the gate and shoot that question to someone, you have to make sure you're asking the right questions to the right people at the right time.
So, I mean, are you trying to break everybody's heart by telling them that sales is a long-term game?
Yeah.
Because like there are a ton of people that just like said, oh my God, Todd, take a breath in between all the steps that I have to do. I need to write these down, right?
I know. But
so many people want the short answer.
They do.
I used to spend so much time worrying about my responses to people in situations like this. And now I have my favorite response that I send to everybody. You want to invite me to your Facebook group? Cool. Like it doesn't upset me anymore because I appreciate the hustle, but I always respond with, what about my profile made you think I could add value to your group?
Yeah.
And nine times out of 10, I don't get a response.
I was going to say, I've asked questions like that too. And I don't get a response from them. It's very interesting. And you know, the way that we sell, and we're going off the rails into self-worth and value and all that kind of thing, but everybody has a different perspective on selling and value and all that kind of stuff, right? Where last week or two weeks ago, whatever, before the last PodMax event, I was talking to a lot of different people who would have benefited from being at the event. And there's three different tiers. I forget exactly the price points for it. It's like $6.99, $9.99, and $12.99 or something, whatever it is, something like that. And some people, we had this conversation about this, this all-day event. We have three keynotes. We have a workshop. It's a mastermind. You're going to meet 30 other people. The opportunities are created from there beyond just that one day. And you're also going to be a guest on three different podcasts. Oh, this sounds great. I love this. I love that. Blah, blah, blah. All these things. And this is all about business improvement, business things. And then I said, great. You know, if you're interested, you can get all the details here. Here's their website and point to podmax.co. And one person responded and said, oh, this isn't free. As if like, we could only promote things that are free, or that why would I have to pay for something that you're promoting or recommending? And I said, correct. I think I said it because it's not, you know, PodMax is not my business. So I said, yeah, I'm not selling this personally, but yes, I'm recommending something that you will get massive benefit from that you have to pay for. And like you just rattled off 10 reasons. So there's people who just like think everything should be free. Those are not the people that we want to be communicating with or attracting and all that kind of stuff, right? Then on the flip side of it, there are other people who have a just premium mindset where of those three tiers, when they said like either this was actually multiple people, and this is, you know, your vibe attracts your tribe. So the people who know, I'm going to get more from things I pay for. And when they asked and said, you know, what are the options? And I said, you know, I think there's three different tiers, but you know, I think that for you getting started, I think the first one might actually make sense. And they're like, I always get the top one. I never get the bottom tier of any.
Yeah.
He didn't even look at what the options were. Just straight up, his mentality was, I'm paying top dollar because I want the best, period. And yeah. So there's just two different perspectives on things.
There's so many perspectives. And, you know, one of the things that we'll dig into on another episode as well is this idea of value, right? Like, for God's sake, please stop trying to tell people why they have the money, right? Mm. So like the person that's trying to sell you something and they're like, how many times do you drink coffee a day? And, you know, if you quit drinking coffee like 7 days, you could pay for like a week of this. What it boils down to is coffee has value to this person and your product doesn't. Right. So quit telling them why they can afford your product and start telling them why your product's valuable to them.
Like, that's great.
It drives me nuts.
That's a great analogy. And you know, that analogy is also the reason that people, this is also understanding the reason behind things other than learning tactics, but learning strategies, is that the reason that that tactic was originally developed to say, for the cost of one coffee per day, you could join this program, is because that's anchoring the price to say coffee's cheap, relatively speaking. And so for that same cheap price that you already spend on coffee, you can do this. We're anchoring the price and we're setting a frame for how much it's going to cost. However, like you just said, it has turned into people just learn the tactic of it and they just come out of the game and go, come on. They haven't presented the value. They just jump to the end of the game and they say, come on, it's just the same price as a cup of coffee. You should buy it. And it's like, okay, so I should just buy it because it's $5. It's not because it adds any value and you haven't given the value. And so that's huge. And anchoring, I think, is, if correct me if I'm wrong, is a technique from the NLP world.
Yes. And it's an amazing one.
Which is going to be one of the episodes that we have, I think might be next week, is going to be the NLP techniques that you need to understand to help your communication process. So anchoring is one of those. So make sure you guys are subscribed to onairbrands.com/show to learn those different type of techniques. So you understand the high level concepts of certain things and what you need to take a deeper dive in versus just the tactics, because when you just know the tactics, they aren't going to work for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, on this idea of communication, when you're trying to think, you know, how do I make these messages to somebody? What do I say? Like, one of the things you mentioned this in the people that reached out to you and were like, where were you from? Mm-hmm. You know, somebody caught me on a testy day one day and I was like, all right, I'm going to have fun with this. And so they asked me questions and they were trying to start a conversation. And they said something that didn't resonate with me at all. And I responded like, I don't want to talk about that. And they're like, well, then tell me about yourself. And I'm like, my profile's pretty detailed. If you can't find anything on my Facebook profile that you can start a conversation about, then this is failed from the beginning. Yeah. So when you're thinking about how to send those messages out and you're like, what template do I use that I can send to everybody on my Facebook list? Like, scrap that right now. Look at a profile, build connections with people, listen to what they have to say, use language that they're saying back to them, and show the value of your product. Like, it's that simple. Not easy, but simple.
Yeah, totally. And all those things we're going to be tackling in upcoming episodes of the show. So make sure you guys are subscribed on airbrands.com/show. And if you know other entrepreneurs who would benefit from this conversation today of what to say and when, please share it for them so that we can increase our impact with the show. Because we love getting this stuff out to you guys and helping everybody become better communicators, because that's just going to make the world a better place if everybody can communicate and receive messages a little bit better, right? So thank you guys for tuning in. We will catch you on the next episode.
Thanks, guys.